All right, it is Wednesday, and we did miss him yesterday because of the schedule down there at Gillette yesterday for Patriots training camp. Today's not a work day, go figure. But back down there tomorrow and Friday, and joining us now from WEEI.com. No, he's not sitting with us at Gillette. He is in the kids' room where the balloons are gone. Our guy Andy Hart, he's with us on Twitch. Hart, good afternoon.
What's up, fellas? We feeling good today?
The drive was different.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I would say, how do you feel? How do you? Because the other day when we talked to you, what is it, Monday, and we talked to you all the time, but still,
yeah.
When you were on air that one time, I feel like there was this realization that things were not going as well as you thought they would be, and now this morning I hear the new nickname for Drake May is now Drake Maybe. How do you feel about that?
So, I told you guys the other day after, I think it was at five practices at that point, a little underwhelmed, a little disappointed, a little sort of behind what I think my expectations were for Drake May at this point. Now, I will say we ride these, I'll use Gerard Mayo's word that he used early in camp, undulations of training camp.
Undulation like foyer, right? Means up and down. It's normally used in the world
sex.
Of... No, it's not. That's funny.
Hey, code word. Hey, babe, a little undulation today?
Want to go undulate?
It's normally used in...
You can say it in front of the kids.
It's like a golf term in terms of the greens. Right. There's a lot of undulation.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. So, the up and down nature of the spring, I felt like was still kind of moving forward. The up, the down, but you're like a little bit... I felt like we flatlined a little bit in his development. But then yesterday... There was and I don't know if you were paying attention or not, because I know you guys are busy doing a radio show and all that, but on the field, sort of closer to your setup, in your end zone, they ran a red zone drill. And Drake May got a lot of reps, and I thought it could have been a wow, bounce back, exciting drill, except for the fact that his boys, Jalen Polk and Javon Baker, let him down. There was a under pressure roll right. I'm going to do the sidearm thing. And Javon Baker, I think, thought he was sacked or stopped running the route. Whatever. It should have been a completion. Then the next play or two later, under pressure, rolling left, throws across his body and hits Jalen Polk in the effing hands in coverage, and he drops it. A play later, he hits a crosser. One play later, he throws a beautiful ball. Under, there was decent coverage at the front pylon that Javon Baker couldn't go up and make a play. And right there, just that series that I'm watching, if his boys that are supposed to be the future of this franchise, the first round pick, the second round pick, and the fourth round pick, if his boys do their job, I think we're talking about that drill as like, whoa, that was the breakout drill for Drake May. He got some extra opportunities. He took advantage. He was on the move. He was changing arm angles. He was putting balls where he had to put him. But when they drop him, everybody's like, another ho-hum practice for Drake May. And I'm like, that wasn't really his fault. So Drake May has been a little underwhelming. But I'll also say, if everybody else around him did a little bit better job, and now the Mac fans will be like, oh, you didn't make these excuses for Mac. Now you're making them for May because you're a maniac. But everybody else needs to step up, too.
Well, I'd like to just see him get some reps with the ones. Can we start there before we're talking about this guy's got red zone periods that are changing things?
No. But you don't believe narratives are changed by a handful of plays or throws or images in the eyes of media or images in the eyes of fans. And there was an opportunity there yesterday for him to take after everybody a day before had said, he doesn't look great. Our buddy Michael Hawley said he saw the ghost of Mac Jones, and everybody's getting all icky balooky, and, Jerry Thornton's getting defensive. Oh, there's panic in New England. Nobody said panic. Nope, we're just observing practices. And this is what pisses me off, quite frankly. If you tell them Javon Baker looks good, they eat it up. They rave about it. And by they, I mean, I call them you people. They're Fitzy's people, the super fans out there. If you tell them something good, they eat it up. You say you saw something bad. Oh, don't worry about it. It's just training camp. Why are you getting that? No. You liked it when I told you something good. You should at least listen when I tell you something bad. But they don't want both sides of the spoon. They don't want a spoon at all. So, I don't think he's earned reps with the ones, quite frankly. He hasn't been good enough earn reps with the ones.
I totally agree with you. I'm completely co-signed with you on
it. But if he lights it up in a red zone segment with the twos, then maybe you say, There's 10 reps in this red zone segment with the ones. Let's go 7-3. Give him 3 reps at the back end and see how he handles it.
Well, you know, and Fourier and I were touching on this a little bit earlier, that preseason's actually going to matter this year very yep. much for the coaches and for others. What do you do in getting the guy reps in the preseason? Because it's very clear he hasn't worked with the ones yet, so I would assume he ain't going to work with the ones whenever they get him into preseason, at least for preseason game number one.
So, you know, it's interesting because Jerod Mayo brought that up on the first day of camp, that he's not sure what he's going to do because...
Well, that looks like the whole camp, but that's another story
easy.
For another time.
We don't need cheap shots. Let's just look at things as they come.
He's just here about the whole, oh, when people say things about Polk, they go the other way. When certain people say things are the warning signs are there and then they're there, we ignore them. But anyway, go ahead.
You took a cheap shot there. I just observe facts and plays.
Listen, that's all I do. You've never had an opinion. Sometimes I have too strong opinions.
Yeah. Actually, usually I learn them from your Twitter and Instagram account because I say something that I don't remember being as harsh as when I watch it on Instagram or Twitter and you guys put it out with a little headline.
And you're a D-bag. Your tone is very condescending.
That is probably accurate at times. I think that is fair. No, so in terms of the reps and the preseason, you know, it'll be interesting to see the first game because that precedes. I'm focused on the joint practices. I really am because I think I told you guys the other day, Carolina we match up with as organizations. Like, we're bad, they're bad, picking top five multiple years, probably like same. You know, they have a quarterback they're not sure about. We have a quarterback we're not sure about. There's a lot going on that's similar. That work week with Philly, when you know it's one of the more talented rosters in football, and, you know, my thing I said to you, Christian, the other day is, Kyle Duggar covering well, or is no one getting open in front of Kyle Duggar? Like, the Eagles are going to challenge your Christian Gonzalez's, your Jonathan Jones, like, right, they're going to roll out receivers and a great quarterback and tight ends and all of that. So that's the week I'm focused on, but there's a preseason game before that where I think you need to get Drake May reps. I don't think you need to get Jacoby Brissett a lot of reps. From what I've seen, he's comfortable in the offense, and I'm not going to blame all the, you know, they've had some pre-snap penalties, some false starts, things of that nature. I'm not going to blame those on him. I think some of that is the moving offensive line, different pieces there, and everything they're going through. But I would prefer to see more reps with whoever Drake May gets to group with. If they bench all the ones in the first game, then I want him to have an extended period with the twos, whatever it may be.
It's not me. I don't know how to
I don't know how to turn it off on my laptop.
Stop.
How do you turn
it? Press the mute button. So he's getting text messages or emails doing this.
Yes.
So it could be people feeding him info. Or
that's what it is.
I know who it is.
We're looking at each other. I'm like, it ain't me.
It's thin and spindly Giardi is probably being like, oh, you dink hot.
Yeah, you said the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you're never happy.
It's a text from
that's
Ken.
That's true.
Hey,
shut the hell up.
A question for you, which we kind of discussed earlier today, and biggest concern, like include everything. Everything's on the table, right? Players, everything, coaches, organization. Biggest concern right now for you is what?
Offensive line.
Okay.
Without a doubt, I don't have a lot of faith. And even this week, something that we didn't want to creep up crept up with David Andrews missing some practice time. You only have two linemen, right? And apparently...
Don't you need five?
You do need five.
You need five, all right.
It's why I giggled when Jerod Mayo said, we don't have starters on the offensive line right now. I was like, I agree, Jerod, but I don't mean it the same way you mean.
That's not like a weird philosophy on life. You know, that's a problem.
It is a problem. Now, they've settled in a little bit where, you know, Caden Wallace has been at left tackle. So is that experiment that they told us might work going to work? Okorafor has moved. They aren't using Onwenu at tackle. I don't know if they've decided he's just not as good as those other guys or he's just flat out so good at guard he can be a more valuable asset there with his size. And we know most teams consider him a guard, so... The offensive line, to me, I think we're going to question it all year long because there's going to be injuries. And now you're hearing, and Gresh, I don't know anything about this stuff. I don't even pretend to know about this stuff. But these Scott Peters, I think they're calling them strike principles or something.
The O-line coach.
The O-line coach, Scott Peters, is teaching these various strike principles that the players are starting to believe actually work, and they have all these different strike methods.
It's like a Karate Kid, Cobra Kai, like strike first, mercy serve.
I mean, you teach hand placement. That's kind of what we're going to do in here.
But even that, you know, his teaching principles and how it melds with his talent and how that melds with the wide zone runs and all those things. I'll tell you, the most alarming thing to me that I've seen most of camp is almost every time they run the wide zone boot, for some reason, someone on the backside is always in the quarterback's mug. That play is supposed to be like nice and easy, wide open. I got a little guy for a 5-yard gain in the flat. Like, ooh, let's make the quarterback feel. It's my prediction of the first Drake May play. When Drake May plays, I think the first play he would
bootleg,
be a wide zone bootleg. And the problem is 75% of the time when they run it, there's like Keon White or Dietrich Wise or somebody right there. Now, I'm leaving the door open for that's one of those training camp, you know, tell kind of things where you've seen the lineup and the play, and that the other team won't necessarily have that edge. But the offensive line to me, until proven otherwise, is the fatal flaw of this team and the biggest question.
What has gone well? I didn't realize it was such a loaded question, but Fournier and I were, here's the best I can come up with.
You can't come up with anything?
No, here's what I can come up with. Is that those young wide receivers have a little life. Absolutely. I don't know if they're going to be great complete receivers. I know they like the flashy play. I mentioned it earlier, Hart. Running the go route is great. I'm sure those guys are going to be all into that. Are they going to want to dig down on short routes? Are they going to want to go over the middle? Are they going to block to stay on the field?
But
at least in terms of a little bit of flash, those wide receivers seem to have some life.
Yeah, I think overall that position has been what I expected. Competitive, some flashes. I don't know, not consistency. You know, maybe the most consistent guy, and no one wants to hear this, is Tyquan Thornton.
Oh boy.
And I know everybody's like, okay.
No, I do want to hear it.
Yeah, but everybody has this idea that he's had good training camps before. Show me in September.
He's past
pads
his prime.
On.
Hold on. Yeah. Add on to it. Bill drafted him. He doesn't draft receivers. How
that
can be that bad?
No, I haven't heard that.
Listen, there's
not in that voice.
Whoa.
Not in that voice either.
There is.
insinuated that.
You know there are going to be a lot of people that are thinking it. A second round wide receiver drafted by Bill ought to wait and just read Twitch in 5 minutes.
Nope. No one has said that. You hear things that no one says. You see things that no one sees.
Sure. Voice too, right?
Real weird, voice too.
Sure,
you got voices in your head. But no, the wide receivers, because I've enjoyed at various times watching Polk. He doesn't get a lot of separation, but he can catch the ball. He can make some plays, contested catches. Javon Baker has some explosiveness to his game. I thought yesterday he looked a little gassed. I don't know if camp has worn on him or whatever he's dealing with that requires that left leg sleeve. But I thought he looked a little slower.
That was a fashion statement.
It could be a fashion statement for all I know. You're right. You know, even Juju, he has nothing left in terms of explosiveness, but has kind of caught the ball in the red zone. He had a nice touchdown from Joe Milton yesterday. So they have competitive bodies there. And then I will say, the back end is interesting. I brought up Duggar and his coverage, and Jonathan Jones, now that he's out there, has looked feisty in his normal self. It's weird they haven't used Christian Gonzalez and a lot of like ones versus ones. They've done some weird rotating in the back end as they trying to find depth at corner. But Christian Gonzalez looks good, fluid, athletic to me. So I am kind of intrigued to see if you can get Peppers healthy when it's Peppers, Jones, Marcus Jones, Christian Gonzalez against the Eagles wide receivers, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, just how good this secondary can be. Because I know the pro Patriots people are banking on this secondary being really good. We'll see if it is.
I was going to say, the defensive regression may come through the defensive line. Mm. What is your expectation on Barmore? Fournier and I look at it as, he's done for the year, and if you get him back, it's a bonus, but otherwise, you got a hole there now.
Yeah, I don't want to throw out done for the year, but I have no expectations. That's what Gerard Mayer told us. I have none. So if he shows up in week... If you have no expectations and he shows up in December, you're happy. If he shows up in October, you're even happier. But I have no expectations. We all know this is sort of, you know, this isn't a football thing. This is a real world life or death type thing. So I think they're going to be extra cautious, as they should be. But that is what is alarming to me. You ask me what's good, but if you were at camp and you're like, wait a minute, I just watched a practice with no Christian Barmore, no Matthew Judon, no David Andrews. Those might be three of your top five best players on the team, and I think we all believe Barmore is a total wild card, and Judon probably an even wilder wild card. Those, I mean, if Barmore doesn't play till late in the year and Judon doesn't play for the team this season, wow, that's a big blow before you've even gotten out of the first week of training camp.
So I wanted to bring this up to you real quick because I'm not sure if we're going to get to Gresh, but did you see that the Hard Knocks, the New York Giants, their big board was somehow left on the screen. Somebody enlarged it, and you know it was obvious that you know they have like the red and the yellow, and it kind of their indicators. Some colors indicate a guy has an injury issue. You know, some guys, say this guy's a problem child type of thing. And not surprised Drake May got flying colors. But the two receivers got, like, their character concerns. And Joe Milton was in yellow. I haven't figured out what yellow means. But are you worried about another team identifying two of your drafted wide receivers having character concerns from another team's board?
So, from everything I've heard, I have no character concerns, or I should say, I don't believe the Patriots have any character concerns for Jalen Polk. I think they feel like they get good value there, and he's the exact opposite, sort of mature, professional, ready-to-go NFL guy. The reality is, Javon Baker has character concerns. That is probably why he was a mid-round pick, because he probably has more talent than that, probably has more upside than that. And I had heard this, you know, right around the draft that somebody made a joke about their red flags there. But again, mid-round pick at the receiver position, I think a lot of those guys have red flags. The kid in the Texas kid that I liked that went to the Colts, A.D. Mitchell, red flags. But he's making plays in camp, and you know, you ride that course. Can you get a few years out of him before the red flags pop up? How red are the flags? What, you know what I mean? There's and you balance out the red.
Is it more pink than it is red?
Right, right.
Red seems extreme.
Yes, it's not really harsh, right?
He's more of a
fuchsia.
Maroon, fuchsia, salmon.
Salmon, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, so that was Bill's board. the salmon pants for Nantucket.
Yeah. But, and I do find the Joe Milt, anytime. So there were 200, there's 260 something picks or whatever the hell the number is, and only one guy's in yellow.
Yeah, what is the yellow? Do you know what I tried looking up what it meant, but I couldn't find the yellow.
First of all, some of these are speculative anyway, and I haven't seen anyone even speculate what yellow would mean. And then you start to think, and when you like, well, a yellow light, that means slow
back
down.
Backflip? Maybe like, it's a backflip.
I kept trying to think like, talent more than football player, athlete more than football player, position change.
Yeah.
Is there any, like,
out of all the guys on that, he's the only one in yellow.
He's the only one in yellow. And we should say he's had a nice start to camp.
He has.
He's
some
thrown the ball
would
relatively
say
well.
Some people, Gresh, not me, but I've heard people say that he's playing better than Drake May.
At times he has. Absolutely. Andy Hart has said that, and Andy Hart will say that. He'll put his name behind it. At times, he has played better than
Drake
May.
You're the someone. Okay. Oh, I mean, listen, I wasn't sure if you were picking up on it.
That's bad news for May. That is going to hang over him, because guess what? Joe Milton's also going to make some. Gresh, can you do your wee thing? You know you like to do wee.
Oh, wee. I'm the head coach now.
Well, Joe Milton is going to make some plays in preseason games in the third and fourth quarters.
So did Malik Cunningham.
Oh, my God.
But that's my point. And people wanted him to play.
They will do get the Vaseline and the peanut butter.
All he's got to do is hit a backflip. I mean, that arguably two of the biggest things that have happened at Patriots camp. One of them is the Milton backflip.
100%, the loudest pop, as you would say.
People are anticipating it. Oh, my God, no backflip today. Show up tomorrow, boys. Park will be open then, too.
And that's why, as much as he's a value draft pick.
This is going to be a fun year.
You created your own distraction there when you took him. You knew you were taking the third pick. You knew there was going to be some developmental bumps. And you fed the masses an option, a Michael Bishop, a guy you can turn to and say, "That remember him in the preseason? He's got a cannon, and he can run, and he can backflip." I think Joe Milton could be a problem for Drake May's perception.
Hmm. I love it. Good job. Good
interesting.
Job today.
Very interesting.
Well, it was because I was fresh off a 6 mile run. So.
I was getting you arrested.
Oh, listen.
No work today.
Oh, the whole 6 mile run. What you just got was insulted, and you just let it go because you had to pop yourself on your run.
6 mile. Ooh, part of the
six
day.
Mile run.
I think we have a candidate.
Fourier says, "Oh, nice job today."
No, I know. That's fine.
I didn't say it today.
You
like,
did.
I did
you
not
did.
Even
you
know.
Did.
I said, good job
you
today.
You said it could have been
I
taken.
I said, yeah, I'm like, good job today.
You could have
no,
been
you said
taken,
good job today.
It could have been taken insultingly.
And then I patted you on the
yep,
head.
Exactly.
You did.
And
you
then
did.
He did the, but I ran 6 miles. Yeah.
What's
right.
a bigger hard? That's a hard move.
That
though.
Is a hard
like
move.
Bragging about how much you run.
Yeah.
People
83
don't
degrees,
run.
Too. I ran by the fire station.
Jesus.
Little digital board told me.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
I ran 6 miles.
You know what?
Big deal. Run a marathon and come talk to us.
How do we not?
I have run two.
Oh, here we go again.
How is Hart's face already not on the hardo scale
I
over
feel
there?
Because like he is.
It should be left in the numbers,
every
though.
Day.
I should be in the Hall of Fame.
He really
the
is.
The Hall of Fame.
It's like, yeah, he belongs there normally
yeah.
on a daily basis.
Should be the
Hart-O
scale.
Yeah. It's weird when you're not
a putting yourself
O.
over.
Like, when you're not doing Hart-O moves, like,
God,
that's
like a,
when.
He's that carny wrestler over here trying to put himself on everything. You should call it the Hart-O scale.
Say, hey, if we don't promote ourselves, who's going to promote us?
I like that, though.
Well, that is very true.
The Hart-O scale.
The Hart-O scale.
We have to rename it. We've named it, like, 5 times.
Well, it was your thing that sat here for 3 months. At least it's up on the wall
on the
now.
Board. We got 3 people up there right now.
Yes. And one needs to come down. The one at number one doesn't
really?
Make any sense.
Well, that was, you know, that was the
boss man
suggestion.
With a big, he had to
strike. He wanted that guy on the board.
He didn't get the bat off the shoulder on that one. Let's put it that way.
Great job today.
Thank you, as always.
So, Hart, I think I'm with.
Yeah, you are.
You the next two? Oh, okay.
Although I may just make an appearance.
All right, so I'll see you Thursday and Friday from camp.
I may ride my scooter.
Wait, what?
I have
am I on full time?
Yeah.
Fourier. I have to check my schedule.
Wait a minute. Yep. Who is
Thursday
in the next
Friday.
2 days? Fourier's off. Supposed that to be.
Been on the list. Been on the schedule.
Been on the list? Oh, no. Imagine if Hart has no idea he's like doing the show tomorrow. He's just like, oh, my God. Hey, it's
Hart has no idea. Because according to my app, I'm doing.
Schedule.
It says Rich Keefe 6 to 10.
Hmm.
I'm
oh,
doing the
boy.
Rich Keefe show.
What was it, Nick? What did you say?
Fourier is on the schedule for Thursday and Friday.
Oh, boy.
That's not
you guys
what my
might
email says.
Talk to Boss Man Ken.
That's what my email says.
I guess I'm going solo from Gillette tomorrow. All right, I'll see somebody there
we're
tomorrow then.
Here
see
comes,
you, Hart. Thank
here comes
you.
The digging.